top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Monday, March 18th, in the headlines. United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine told Granby residents on Sunday, electoral reform assemblies are a great opportunity to ensure that they get to choose their own respective and better governance.
Right on.
The Inter-American Development Bank has launched a $20 million One Caribbean Regional Program designed to tackle climate change-related challenges across the region. And the first food aid ship reached the coast of Gaza Strip, but hopes for a ceasefire to rescue the population from starvation.
Regional
faced a setback after Israel rejected the latest truce counterproposal from Hamas.
5DA.com.
The news is brought to you. Compliments, Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Dr. Thompson Fontaine, leader of the United Workers Party, joined the chorus of voices advocating for change in Dominica and particularly emphasizes the need for good governance. He highlighted to a gathering in Granby on Sunday that dialogues on electoral reform are a valuable opportunity to engage with the community and honor its past leaders, including late Prime Minister Pierre Charles, who championed the principles of good governance, although unfortunately his tenure in office did not endure before his untimely passing. Dr. Fontaine urged the residents of Granby to recognize that electoral reform assemblies present a valuable opportunity to demonstrate that Dominica has the potential to improve on its current governance. He encouraged them to embrace electoral reform as their best chance to select their own representatives and get the economic and social development that they deserve. Meanwhile, retired U.S. Army Command Sergeant Major Ralph Alcender addressed the gathering at the ERC National Assembly on Sunday and called for the people of Granby to unite and fight for electoral reform and demand the development they truly deserve. He stated that Granby has not been given its fair share after 24 years of loyalty to the ruling DLP party. Mr. Ascender added that the people of Granby must now take the position that enough is enough and must stand firm for their own interest and not tolerate mediocrity or fight for politicians to enrich themselves. He advised Granbyans to stand up for economic opportunities that will help them regain their financial independence, good roads, good health care, and a sound education for their children. Ashley Lashley, the organizer for the first ever SEEDS Children and Youth Action Summit scheduled for May, stressed the vital importance of acknowledging the influential role that young people hold in shaping the future of the nations and the planet. As the executive director of the Ashley Lashley Foundation, Lashley emphasized the profound significance of the Youth Summit for young individuals across small island developing states.
As we stand on the cusp of monumental change, it is imperative that we recognize, and all of us recognize, the pivotal role that we as youth and children play in shaping the future of our nations and our planet. The summit holds a profound significance, not only for me as a young person from a small island developing state, but other countless youth from across cities and around the globe who share our dreams, our aspirations, and our unwavering commitment to positive transformation. You've heard the team from Peter, Small Island, Big Dreams, Youth for SIDS Resilience, and it really speaks to our resilience in the face of adversity, our determination to overcome challenges, and our unwavering belief in the power of collective action. And I want you guys to emphasize, and I want you guys to go away remembering the power of collective action. I've had the privilege over the last 2 months of working alongside 9 remarkable young leaders from Barbados, Guyana, Micronesia, Palau, Seychelles, Mauritius, Antigua, and Barbuda to organize the summit, who really formed the steering committee. Their passion, creativity, and dedication continue to inspire me. And together, we have crafted a summit program that reflects our shared vision for a brighter future.
She further explained that the summit will include a variety of activities and initiatives aimed at catalyzing significant change through discussions on resilience, recovery, and environmental integrity, with participation from various countries.
Our summit will encompass a range of activities and initiatives that are really aimed at driving meaningful change within our communities, from discussions on resilient recovery and environmental integrity to hands-on experiences of the blue and green economy. We will explore innovative solutions to the pressing challenges facing our cities. Moreover, we have what is the most exciting component for me that is embedded into the agenda, and that is our sustainable cultural fashion showcase, which will celebrate the rich diversity of cultures while advocating. Perhaps the most important element of this summit is that it's about action. We will not simply talk, but we will act. Through our 10-year commitment to action document, we will implement youth-led projects across the SIDS regions, paving the way for tangible, lasting change. Additionally, we will establish the first ever SIDS Youth Action Body to monitor our progress and hold our leaders and ourselves accountable. At the summit's conclusion, there will be an Inspire Me chat with a celebrity guest who I can't disclose at the moment, as well as a donor negotiation, Shark Tank kind of style event.
And that was Ashley Lashley, Executive Director of the Ashley Lashley Foundation. As the world celebrated Consumer Rights Day, the focus turned to the shifting landscape of consumer rights, particularly in the realm of artificial intelligence. In a world increasingly dominated by data and algorithms, ensuring equitable and responsible AI usage for consumers emerged as a pressing issue. Within the CARICOM Single Market and Economy, the CARICOM Competition Commission had consistently advocated for expanded consumer rights in the digital domain. Recent efforts underscored the importance of tackling contemporary challenges while promoting a marketplace characterized by fairness and transparency. With the digital economy's continual expansion, consumers were urged to educate themselves on AI's implications. While AI offered various benefits such as enhanced convenience and personalized experiences, it also brought risk, especially concerning consumer data rights and privacy. Through awareness and proactive engagement, consumers could navigate these complexities and advocate for policies that safeguarded their interest. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Raymond Lawrence, a former chief cultural officer, has recently voiced his disappointment at the slow progress in the rehabilitation of the Arawak House of Culture. He highlighted that 6 years after Hurricane Maria, no efforts have been made to ensure the sustainability of the arts industry, especially given the emergence of several cultural and arts groups on the island.
I'm sorry that the Arawak up until now, so there's a tinge of sort of, what would I say, that my heart is a little heavy at this time as well. Up until now, the Arawak has not been repaired or rehabilitated or put back on its feet because the groups in Dominica now, especially to stage a play, to stage a dance production, really, we don't have a proper theater at this time, which saddens me that 6 years after the hurricane, which of course devastated Dominica and of course affected and damaged Arawak too as a result, that it has not been repaired or a new building been you know, replacing the Arawak or whatever the case may be. So I really would like to see a new theater, a brand new theater, and more than one in different parts of Dominica, so that, you know, plays can be staged in proper theaters, dance productions, song, you know, musicals can be performed in proper spaces and that are well lit, that, you know, they have the proper acoustics, the proper settings, and so on. So that's one of the things I'm hoping that, because I know Walwyn would have wanted some theater, definitely some wonderful theater spaces in Dominica.
Raymond Lawrence, a former chief cultural officer. Janelle Brisby, an assistant forest officer, has unveiled the schedule of events for the Forestry Division's Week of Activities, aligned with Dominica's commemoration of Forest Week 2024. The festivities will kick off with an exhibition at the Botanical Gardens and will culminate in the Forestry Officers Award Ceremony. The observance is scheduled to take place, that's today, March 18th to 22nd, 2024.
Good day, everyone. The Forestry, Wildlife and Parks Division is thrilled to announce Dominica's Forest Week 2024. Join us from March 18th to March 22nd for a week of impactful activities. Come explore the Botanic Gardens exhibition with us on March 18th and 19th, where we will be displaying our forest products and wildlife. Participate in tree planting and riverbank stabilization on March 20th along Dominica's West Coast and La Ronde River. Follow our multi-stakeholder roundtable discussion on March 21st, where we will celebrate International Day of Forests under the theme Forest and Innovation, as we work to foster an exchange of experiences and knowledge in forest conservation. Finally, we will be hosting an awards ceremony on March 22nd at the Cabritz National Park to honor the commitment of our outstanding and long-serving forest officers. Together, let's preserve Dominica's natural heritage for a sustainable future.
And that was Janelle Brisbane, Assistant Forest Officer at the Forestry, Wildlife and Parks Division. In other news, the launch of the One Caribbean Regional Program, aimed at addressing regional challenges related to climate change, with a commitment of up to US $20 million to action the program's priorities. In a joint statement, the Inter-American Development Bank IDB governors for Bahamas, Barbados, Belize, Guyana, Jamaica, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago pledged to intensify joint efforts to enhance the living conditions of citizens in the Caribbean region. The statement followed by a signing ceremony at the IDB Group 2024 annual meetings of the Board of Governors in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. I quote, "We recognize the need to address the unique challenges of our region and focus on pressing issues such as high climate vulnerability, low resilience, low productivity, vulnerability to price shocks and food insecurity, large infrastructure gaps, limited implementation capacity, and citizen and business security," close quote, they stated. Acknowledging the IDB Group's extensive experience in the region, technical expertise, regional integration mandate, and role as a platform to channel donor resources, the governor endorsed One Caribbean as a regional program to support sustainable development in the Caribbean region. And the first ship carrying food aid reached the coast of the Gaza Strip, but no hope for a ceasefire to rescue the population from starvation suffered a new blow after Israel rejected the latest truce counterproposal from Hamas.
The first ship carrying food aid for the Gaza Strip reached its coast on Friday. It comes as hopes for a ceasefire to save the population from starvation suffered a new blow after Israel rejected the latest truce counterproposal from Hamas. The charity World Central Kitchen hopes to deliver the aid to a temporary jetty. 220 tons of food supplies are on board the open arms vessel, which has been towed from Cyprus. But precise details of how aid would reach the shore, let alone be distributed, have not yet been made clear. And aid agencies have repeatedly said that plans to bring in aid by sea and through airdrops is not enough to satisfy the territory's vast needs. The war began when Hamas Islamist fighters from Gaza killed 1,200 people and seized 253 hostages in Israel on October 7th, according to Israeli tallies. Since then, Israel's assault on the enclave has killed more than 31,000 people and driven nearly the entire 2.3 million population of Gaza from their homes. Israel has rejected Hamas's latest counteroffer for a weeks-long ceasefire on the grounds of unrealistic demands. The proposal, seen by Reuters, envisions the release of dozens of Israeli hostages in return for hundreds of Palestinians held in Israeli jails. It also calls for talks during a second phase that would eventually lead to the end of the war. Israel has persistently said it will discuss only temporary pauses in fighting, with discussions of ending the war off the table until Hamas is eradicated. US, Egyptian and Qatari mediators had hoped to reach a ceasefire in time for the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. That deadline passed earlier this week. The United Nations says Gaza's entire population is suffering from a food crisis, and it believes a quarter of them are on the precipice of famine, especially in the north. Israel, which has sealed off all land routes into Gaza except for two crossings, denies responsibility for the crisis.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers' Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine told Granby residents on Sunday electoral reform assemblies are a great opportunity to ensure that they get to choose their own representative and better governance. Q95DA.com. The Inter-American Development Bank has launched a $20 million One Caribbean Regional Program designed to tackle climate change-related challenges across the region. And the first food aid ship reached the coast of the Gaza Strip, but hopes for a ceasefire to rescue the population from starvation faced a setback after Israel rejected the latest truce counterproposal from Hamas. DA.com. Right on. The news was brought to you. Compliments, Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter, Fudis Environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.